Welcome to Guitar Serious Fun, a podcast dedicated to enhancing your guitar journey as you offer your gifts to the Lord. I'm David Harsh, and today, alongside our special guest, Jerry Chambers, we're going to talk about what it means to lead worship in good times and hard times, whether we're feeling up or feeling down. Here's a little bit about our special guest today. A third-generation worship leader, Jerry Chambers has a passionate heart for knowing God and worshiping Him with others, as well as helping new churches with all things worship and tech. He holds a Master's of Church Music degree from Southwestern Seminary and has served at churches in Oklahoma, Texas, Germany, and Washington. Jerry and his wife, Judy, have two daughters and two sons who have huge hearts for serving and living alongside the needy at home and around the world. I met Jerry in 2017 when we were both presenters at the Worship Catalyst experience at the Northwest Ministry Conference in Redmond, Washington, and I was blessed to be able to sit in on a little bit of what Jerry was sharing with the attendees. We've stayed in touch over the past few years, and in an effort to bring some more outside wisdom to our listeners here at Guitar Serious Fun, I approached Jerry and he graciously accepted. Many of our listeners who are pursuing serious fun on the guitar are involved with music at church. And that's definitely something I've been a part of for almost three decades, whether on staff, volunteering, or serving as a guest worship leader. So in an effort to round out the content experience here at Guitar Serious Fun, we're going to have an intentional discussion about those times when we experience disappointment and discouragement and what to do next. Jerry, thank you for spending some time with us today at Guitar Serious Fun.
And thank you so much, David. It's great to be a part of this. And actually, this is my first podcast recording. So,
okay, well, I'm just going to kind of tee it off based on some notes that you have graciously furnished to me from the curriculum that you put together for this particular discussion topic. And I just invite you to just kind of take it and run with it. And I'll ask some questions as we kind of go along, but I'm going to just read what is literally at the top of your sheet. It says, what's at the heart of most of our wanting to give up? Now, maybe our listeners are at a point where they're feeling pretty good about things, or maybe some of them are feeling worn out or burned out or feeling despondent, and they aren't necessarily sharing that generally with other people, but they're feeling low and depleted. So, Jerry, kind of just take us into the mindset of a worship guitarist, worship leader, worship musician, or even a technician who is starting to feel like they want to give up.
Sure. I'm going to be sharing from a full-time worship leader perspective, but you know, these things really apply to all of us as believers because God has given us a gift that we share, and there's not necessarily levels. I mean, we are all I'd like to say lead worshipers instead of worship leaders. We are leading, we are facilitating, but I would say that this applies to anyone, whether they're just playing occasionally or every Sunday or if they are actually the main person leading on a Sunday. And that is that we want to bring our best and we love what God has given us, but there are times when we get discouraged. It's a part of it. We read it throughout Scripture. We certainly see it in the Psalms. And thank God that we do have the Psalms to be able to back that up. But we just have one thing in common. And that is that there's times when we feel like giving up. Sometimes we do give up. And that one thing that's driving it is discouragement. So, yes, that's pretty obvious. But about what? What is your discouragement about? And how and why does that happen? There's discouragement, disappointment, even disappointment in God. If we are really being honest with ourselves, even if we don't want to be disappointed in Him, if we are, we are. And we read that in those who wrote throughout the Bible as well. Well, there's reasons for that. One of the biggest ones is we are going to have tribulation. In fact, it was promised that in the Bible, that there will be times of trouble. That's in Matthew 6:34. It's a great one to look up. So where does that discouragement and tribulation come from? Well, obviously our circumstances as we go along week to week. But number two, we also work with people. I am one, you are one, we all are one, and we know what that's like. But then also we have an enemy of our souls, Satan, and he does not want this to happen. He's not just trying to bring us down. He does not want God advanced. And what are we doing in worship but advancing God? Mm. And that's what I would say are the biggest things. We should expect it because of tribulation and all. Now, that doesn't answer how we get through it, but we have to start there. We have to acknowledge that it's going to happen, tribulation.
Acknowledging the problem is kind of like half the battle.
Yes.
Because once we know there's an issue, we can combat it. And I would say Scripture is a great way. When I rely only on my emotions, mm-hmm. I'm not on steady ground. As an artist, I have a rather emotional temperament. I feel my highs pretty high and pretty low as well. Mm, yeah. I mean, there are people who are in the technical arts who also have lots of emotion. But I'm just saying, as an artist, I tend to put a lot of weight on how I feel about something, and then I can make decisions based on my emotions, which is not always wise. So going back to, like you said, the Psalms, sometimes we can pray the Psalms in a season of sorrow, and that can be a great form of going to the Lord and giving him worship even in our state of discouragement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to say these things out loud. You know, because we have those examples throughout Scripture, it reminds us that we can be as raw as one. I mean, no one was more raw than King David. Mm. And yet God said, here's a man after my own heart. That blows me away, really does, because I found some of the best times of worship, or maybe if I was just getting something out and then it led to worship. But some of my best times of with God have been when I was just really honest with him and being raw. Now we have to all figure out what that looks like. Maybe other people may journal or whatever. But I do think as artists, because we're expressive and because there is emotion, I think we have to do something out loud. I think that actually helps. And who made our emotions in the first place that gave us something so big, with big highs and big lows? Well, that was God. Now, does he want to use that? Absolutely. So tell him out loud. But also feel free to tell trusted friends and others. They have to be trusted ones, of course. And don't let that stuff fester and become something else. Don't ignore it. We know these things. We've heard it. We know the paths that those take. But every single one of them, you could call them a bunch of D's. Don't let these things mess with your affection. Discouragement, which leads to disappointment. Disappointment will lead to, eventually, disillusionment, even dismay. And then finally, doubt. And if we get to doubt, we get very close to the edge of disavow. We don't want to get there. How many people have we seen have gotten out of playing or singing or leading worship because their doubt finally turned into, I'm done with it. Wow. And didn't come back. And that scares me. And I don't want to begin to get close to there. So I want to back up on those D's and deal with it on the front end.
Would you say those D's one more time just so we can hear them again?
Sure. Discouragement. That's where we started, right? Disappointment and discouragement lead to, if left unchecked, lead to disillusionment. Then dismay. And then doubt, which will lead to disavow.
Wow. To see that progression, it just gets further and further away mm-hmm. of the joy that we might have when we first start the worship ministry we've been called to. I, just being fully transparent, I have a tendency toward turning inward and toward self-isolation. Mm. Okay. Even in the past 24 hours, wow. I was under what I believe to be a level of spiritual attack because of some really powerful ministry I was a part of over mm-hmm. the last couple of days, speaking mm-hmm. into the lives of other worship leaders. And so I came home and I was just really struggling. My first instinct was not to go to someone and share my emotions and my struggles. My first instinct was to turn inward or to self-isolate. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's not a very healthy choice.
Well, we can, you know, even if we need a moment just alone and away, that's fine as long as we have a plan that we're not going to stay there.
Right.
You know, we need some time and space, and God builds that into us too, does he not?
He does.
Creates where, one, sometimes I think, well, with God, I can say anything raw, and he knows and gets it. But before I say it to someone else, maybe I better think at least a little bit through how I want to say it, unless it's someone really trusted that you're just saying, I'm just spewing just to get it out. And then you, if it's someone that you know you can collect that stuff back with, you know. Yeah. But there are times, yes, where we feel that isolation. But we've got to know that we can't stay that. I mean, look what happened with Elijah. Oh, my goodness. We could spend a whole session on just what he did and the big victory he had with God, which was incredible and miraculous. And yet he was running scared, what, just moments after that time.
Just moments after a victory, we can experience a low.
Yes, we can expect it.
We can expect it. I appreciate you just naming that. Mm-hmm. I am so grateful that in that moment where I was wanting to self-isolate, mm-hmm. I went to be with my church family because the timing mm-hmm. of that worked where I was literally just dwelling mm-hmm. with my fellow followers of Christ, being led in worship and experiencing solid teaching, corporate worship, and lyrics that reminded me of the faithfulness of God, even amidst fear, even amidst sorrow. Some of the most well-penned hymns, and I see that you've included this, are from hymn writers that had huge struggles. It makes me think of Horatio Spafford and mm-hmm. It Is Well With My Soul.
Yes. Yes.
What a tragic circumstance where he lost his family, sailed to that location, and stood there where the family had perished, and he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. I can't even begin to imagine in God's economy how many lives that hymn has touched and comforted because the author was willing to write out of his sorrow and yet trust in the Lord. So some of the great hymns can put words to our sorrow and our struggle. The laments in the Psalms are a wonderful way to encapsulate where we're at and to allow us to cry out. One of our guest experts in the alumni experience at Guitar Success for You is actually our pastor, and he talks about rather than just being a puddle on the floor of just weeping, the laments actually give us a bit of a container into which to deliberately place
That's a good word.
How we're doing.
I like the container thing.
Yeah, so the Lord is not at all unaware of our sorrows and our struggles. In fact, he's intimately aware. So when we go to him in prayer, in song, he's ready to hear us.
Yes. When I was 39 or so, I had a little older, was losing a friend. She was on our worship team to cancer.
Mm.
And her mom, of course, was so grief-stricken. And then we're sitting with her. We're just sitting. Sometimes you can just only sit when you're there. There's, again, that quiet isolation, even with people around. But then she said, where is that found that God says he keeps our tears in a bottle, tears in a jar? And it just reminds us that he hears, he knows, and he keeps them. And none of it is wasted. God wants to use those things in our lives and beyond. Even those very things can glorify him. When it can feel wrong to be at that place, and it can even feel sinful, like thinking, what's wrong with me? Why would I even think this way? But we have to admit where we're at. And that's why it's okay to say that to God. It's okay to be quiet and then just go somewhere with it. But none of it has to be wasted. He wants to use all of it.
When you say things like admit where we're at, I hear a subtext of this idea that there are some worship leaders, I'm a guy, so I want to be strong, who might want to present a confident presence, especially when they're stepping up to the mic on a Sunday mm-hmm. morning, and just either stuff it or just be like, I'm fine, I've got a job to do, and not admit that we are feeling weak or mm-hmm. full of sorrow. And there's an appropriate venue in which to do that, but if I come up to a Sunday morning rehearsal and I don't tell any of the worship team members that I'm struggling and feeling discouraged or disappointed, and I blaze through that rehearsal and then I lead that morning of worship, I think I've done everybody a bit of a disservice because I haven't actually been transparent about where I'm at. And if I'm able to step forward and just say to the team, hey, listen, I am really at a low point. I need you guys to pray for and with me that the Lord would be my portion. I'm okay to lead out of this, but I need you to know where I'm at. This is really a hard point for me, and it's not convenient that I'm going to be leading God's people this morning, but here I am, and let's go to prayer about this or something. Thoughts on that?
Yes. Yeah. How do we lead, whether we are up or down? Because we're going to be somewhere there or somewhere in between, but we can lead from the lows as well as the highs. Whatever capacity we have for being vulnerable and just leading worship out of that time, I think is huge, that God wants to use even those times. It may just be with the worship team as we've rehearsed and warmed up, coming in and saying where I'm at. And I don't feel like it's right for me to just say that openly in the service, but I do at least with my team. And invariably, someone will come up from your team and say, I'm so glad you said that because of where I'm at. Well, and they have their stuff too as they come in. My goodness. We can't all be at the same place at the same time. It just doesn't happen in any one service. And I've even had in the service where I did that, I felt like God was prompting me to take a risk even. And this was back in Germany in an American military church to show my emotions and just share, you know, from the heart. I don't honestly remember even where it, you know, I think it might have been around a scary time of the birth of our son that we, my wife had some scary things happen during that time and ended up back in the hospital. But I shared from that on stage, and God really did use that in people's lives. He was glorified. And it's not just always a direct one-to-one. God will use that over time as well, because by being vulnerable, we're actually, that's a not just trusting. Who is it we're trusting? It's God that we're trusting that He is going to use that. And I felt actually prompted. And I thought, I'm going to lean into this. And I'm known for not having a problem just going ahead and going for it. And I'm so glad I did. But we need to allow God to use it. And He will surprise us even in the middle of a worship service with what He wants to do.
There are a couple things you just said that I just kind of want to key into. It kind of reminds me of C.S. Lewis, who said something to the effect of, friendship is born when someone says, you feel the same way? I thought I was the only one. And this idea of a level of empathy and common bond, even in struggle. And I feel like in an appropriate fashion, when we are transparent about our struggle, we give other people permission to be transparent about a similar struggle. And then they also realize we're human and we have struggles too. There are people who have told me that they thought I always had it together. And that can actually create an artificial distance between me and them. And then they don't necessarily feel like they can be as transparent with me. And obviously, there's ways to be appropriate about our struggles, of course. But I have had those promptings as well, very rarely, but they've happened where I've been transparent with the congregation. And people have said, thank you so much for being real about your struggle. I am also in need of encouragement.
Yeah. In fact, it just dawned on me, why do we think of us going along as worship, the norm is to not be these things, but this that we're talking about, the struggle, is the exception. It's probably not. It's probably the norm, you know, because, well, we certainly know someone in our team or in the room is going to be struggling. Why not more of a both-and approach? I think that's part of why God gives us so many areas to arenas to cover in a worship service. So, and you see this pattern in Isaiah 6, one of my favorites. When Isaiah came in himself, he was deeply discouraged because his best friend, the King Uzziah, had just died. And he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And what happens there was he actually came into the worship service, not worship service, he came in before the Lord. That's a worship service of one person. Came in discouraged, And what happened was God opened it up, and all of a sudden he had a totally different perspective, because now he's seeing God. He came in discouraged, thinking and very, you know, about one person, and God allows us to be myopic and you know, narrow focused on purpose. But then he blows that wide open with helping us see him. And all of these things happen in our worship service. Wherever we come, discouraged, wherever we come before him, you know, if we see the Lord as he is, and he saw all the angels and all of that, and what happened was he saw God. What was the second thing that he saw? Himself. And what did he say? He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. And one of the seraphim, remember, took a burning coal and touched it to his lips and said, you are clean. Wow. So that's forgiveness. That's another aspect. You know, there's confession. Woe is me. It was the confession. Forgiveness was the other. And then after that is the very last aspect of worship that happened. God said, and who shall go for me? Who shall go and tell my people? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What's the last thing we do in a worship service? We leave. We go and we go out. But God gave him such a different perspective, and yet he came in so discouraged, and he left that. Now, who knows how long all that really was, but it was a worship service of one, you know, worshiping God. So I know I might have gotten a little off track there, but it just leans into what we're trying to say and the perspective that God gives us.
I think you're right on track. I don't think we've gone off course, because we need to have an appropriate perspective of ourselves and of the Lord and of the task he's called us to. Mm-hmm. When I think about the different people that I minister to, especially inside Guitar Success for You, a lot of times I come back around to the idea that it's not just about music. In fact, sometimes it has nothing to do with music.
Right.
Certainly, you and I are in this business of resourcing musicians to play music. They play their instruments. There's technicians who are running their equipment. There are logistic and artistic things that are in play, but there is so much more to what we're doing. I like to say that we're not necessarily just working with musicians, we're working with people. Mm-hmm. And people have relationships with the Lord. They have struggles, they have trials. So I think this is absolutely essential stuff to come back around to. And some of the episodes in Guitar Serious Fun are geared toward practical, hands-on, mechanical things about understanding the fretboard and harmony and theory and rhythm and that kind of thing. But I think it's super important to have conversations like this that deal much more with the theology of worship and why we do this and the obstacles and challenges that we will encounter. Mm-hmm. There are so many more things I want to talk to you about, but I also want to stay on track with just the allotted time that I want to give for this episode. Can you take us just through the secrets of being able to do this well, especially as we lead, whether we're up or down? You just mentioned perspective, which I think leads us right into secret number one. Would you just kind of give us a bird's eye view of these secrets?
Okay. Well, I do believe that's the first secret, is to have perspective. And that's exactly what God gave Isaiah when he revealed himself to him. He opened up the room God did, and showed Isaiah himself. And that gave him perspective of whom he belonged to, and that was God. And we need to remember also that our own worth isn't tied to the success of our ministry, or even the success of this last service that we played at or sang at. Our worth isn't tied to the last song we did. So we should excel and give our very best to God, but not hang on so tight that it becomes our identity, you know, musician.
It's good.
No, we are followers of Christ, and that helps us in a good, healthy humility, as I'd like to call it. A second secret is to cling to our source. Remember in John 6, Jesus had people desert him, and he said to his disciples, will you desert me too? I love what Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom else would we go? You have the very words of life. Peter was always blurting something out, but this was good. He said, where else would we go except to you? No, I'm not deserting you. They were discouraged, but they still knew who their source was. So after perspective, cling to that source of our worship and of our own identity. Time alone with the Savior. We know that we need this, and we need times during the week, the in-between times. And that may look like a real regular pattern. Some people, it's going to be best, and morning is usually the best because that's how we start the freshest. And we all get that, and we need to do that as much as possible. But I'm not always consistent about first thing in the morning, you know, if I can grab it later, but I do try to, let's all admit that the earlier in the day, the better for all of us. It's rare that we would consistently, you know, have time alone with the Savior in the evening, because there's just something about, well, I don't know, we almost need to defragment our brains and our hearts, you know, and that's what rest does. That's why the first thing in the morning is good.
And it sets the tone for the day as well.
And it sets the tone, yeah, and it sets our perspective at the beginning of the day to go from there.
I see something here on, this is secret number three that you're talking about, time alone with the Savior. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were going to hit on this, but you say before looking at anything on an electronic device,
yes,
it is so tempting for
Absolutely.
Me to open up my phone and see if there is communication coming uh-huh. my way, to do that before digging into the Word.
Yeah.
But it can wait.
It waited all night, so it needs to wait until then.
Yes.
And I have a pastor friend that he said, just to make sure that doesn't happen, I make sure that before I even get up out of my bed, before my feet physically hit the floor, I am already fixing my gaze on the Lord, so that I start there. And then I try to make it, you know, to my Bible or whatever, before getting interrupted with something, and try to get there. That's probably more important than ever before, because we've never, and we all know this, had the distractions like we do now.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a plus for, you know, doing it first thing. Number four, I'd say lead from your brokenness. We've discussed that already quite a bit, but remember in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we've always kind of wrestled with that, but you know, there's times that we just are, whether it's a lot or a little. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, the promise to them is the kingdom of heaven. Oh my goodness. We get to see God, be with Him. Our humility, our being vulnerable and being honest, because if God's going to use us in any way, it's in those. And not just, yes, for other people. They need that in us as lead worshipers. But even if they weren't there, for God's glory alone, that we would turn to Him. That brings Him glory.
Awesome. I'm going to drop a little spoiler alert in here.
Okay.
Because we want our listeners to enjoy what we've shared here, but I also want to leave them wanting just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, would you consider coming back for a follow-up episode to unpack secret number five?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So secret number five is not on Sunday. And I'm going to let those three words just kind of rest. We're not going to ask Jerry to unpack them right now. We will follow up in a subsequent episode to go through secret number five, not on Sunday. It's going to be an episode you're not going to want to miss. So you're willing to come back for one
Absolutely.
More?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's skip on down to secret number six.
Okay. Secret six, for me anyway, is to use God's eyes, to ask Him, Lord, You gave me perspective about who You are, and it just overwhelms everything else. Now, because You did that for me, give me Your eyes about this for everyone else as well, especially if I'm leading in some way on Sunday, to not only have a perspective of God, but now have a perspective of our people out there and their struggles. And tell God, I need You, God. I cannot know how You need me to lead in worship or play in worship today, because only You know who's out there and what you're doing in their life, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So that's why I always want to ask Him for, give me Your perspective. And can I get to the last one?
You sure can.
The last one, secret number seven, is gratitude. I It's been over four decades. I cannot believe it. And I still love doing this. I love it. I had no idea that I would be this long and still enjoying leading worship, but I do. And I really personally believe that this was the secret to longevity even, and it is for all of us. Whether it's in leading worship or just in life, is gratitude. That is perspective. If we have gratitude, then we are seeing God for all that He has done. It gets us through the hard stuff. Gratitude fixes our gaze on Him and away from the dread of life and the tough stuff. And it gets rid of anxiety. It just melts it away.
Read that description.
Okay. Gratitude does to anxiety what the morning sun does to the valley mist. It burns it up. And if you've ever seen that, and you go, oh man, that's thick. And then you come back 30 minutes later and it is gone. It's amazing.
I would say, and this isn't an original thought, but I would say that anxiety or bitterness, those sorts of, you know, low emotions that might even tend toward turning away from God on some level, those cannot simultaneously linger with gratitude.
We can be
grateful about something and anxious about something else, but typically, if someone has a posture of gratitude, that tends to be the front burner, the more predominant posture, because if we have gratitude, then our perspective changes drastically. And
yes.
if I see someone that I'm shepherding or discipling or ministering to who is really, really struggling, I will sometimes say to them, can you tell me something you're grateful for? That tends to lift their countenance. Mm-hmm. We're not ignoring the other struggle, but we are saying, let's talk about what we're grateful for. I think about Christ when He broke the bread at the Last Supper, knowing what was coming. What did He do? He gave thanks.
My goodness, that's right. Yeah, that is true. Even in the midst of the hardest thing that He knew was coming at that point, He still gave thanks to the Father. He still said, nevertheless, thy will. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's true.
So, secret number one, perspective. Secret number two, cling to your source. Secret number three, time alone with the Savior. Secret number four, lead from your brokenness. Secret number five, which we'll unpack next time, not on Sunday. Secret number six, use God's eyes. And secret number seven, gratitude.
Yes.
Jerry, any closing thoughts you might share with us to just kind of close out what we've been discussing today?
Yes. And this is tapping off of that last one of gratitude. Gratitude is going to be eternal. It already is. We've started heaven on earth. We know that in some ways, but again, if we have perspective about this, it's just such a few short years compared to all of eternity. And we know we can't measure, but when we do, it reminds us, oh my goodness, this ain't nothing. So I would say the number one thing for all of us in life and all of creation does as well is to glorify God. So I like to ask people, what over the span of your life, what is it of our life that brings the most glory to Him? It's our faithfulness and our gratitude, the way that we express it to God. That's worship. That's it. It can be singing. It can be speaking, playing. It can be doing tech team. We call our tech team worship team because they are just as much. We don't call it worship and tech anymore. We just call it worship team.
Amen.
And so they are glorifying God by expressing, working everything to make sure that we give our very best to the Lord. But even while we are doing that, we have the heart thing going on. So it's, you know, the heart's a part of it. It better not be removed. We need to lead from our heart. Yes, even in tweaking knobs, we can do that from the heart.
This is great. Well, Jerry, you've really blessed us, and I have a suspicion that our listeners have been very blessed as well. I'd love to know for sure. So if you've listened to this and you've enjoyed it, please leave a comment. We also appreciate nice 5-star reviews so that this can spread out and reach more folks. Also, if you are kind of getting the sense that I am not just about guitar, which is great, but I'm about the whole experience of being a worshiper who happens to play the guitar and wants to play it well, just invite you to check out our website for our online membership. It's a one-of-a-kind experience designed for beginning and intermediate Christian guitar players who write songs or lead worship or do both. The website you're going to want to check out is guitarsuccessforyou.com. That's guitar success, the number 4, and the letter U.com. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you again, Jerry, for being here.
You're so very welcome. Thank you again, David.
And we look forward to having Jerry back on a future episode titled Not on Sunday. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time.